Now, most of us are trying to live healthier lives these days and to do what we can for our health, but it can be hard to know what you should be eating. So what if I told you our vegetables are not as healthy as they used to be? Well, let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to the podcast and thank you for listening. We had a great episode last week about the weird history of the Olympic Games. So if you didn't catch that, it's worth listening back to as we head into the last week of the Games. And many of those athletes are hyper-focused on nutrition, as I've been over the last few months after being sick, and lots of us are in our daily lives. Most of us want to be more healthy and to eat more healthy. So let me tell you, I got quite a shock when doing an interview the other day for another episode of this podcast that's in the works on the value or otherwise of food supplements. I was chatting to Una O'Hagan from Mars Pharmacy, and she had this to say about the nutrition of our food and vegetables.
The big problem here is that our food today in this modern world doesn't have the same level of nutrients in it as it would have had years ago. And so what you think that you're eating and you're assuming has all of these nutrients, unfortunately, 9 out of 10 times doesn't have that. So our soil is depleted. The quality of our soil is depleted, as is the formation of the soil depleted. And so the nutrients that you believe that might be in your head of broccoli might not necessarily be there. I read a really scary statistic recently to say that it would take 40 heads of broccoli to give you the same amount of magnesium that one head would have given you 40 years ago. So that just shows you the quality of the nutrient content in our food today versus years ago. And this is just because of over-farming and because the soil is not of the correct formation or the correct quality in order to give the nutrients. And because that's where we get our nutrients from our fruit and our vegetables. So, and we get that from the soil. So unfortunately, our soil is lacking in, you know, phosphorus, potassium, zinc and manganese and copper today. We know that. I think the recent stats that I read that the 20% of Irish soil is magnesium deficient. And unfortunately, we need magnesium for 300 functions in our body. And so there we see in pharmacy a huge amount of magnesium deficiency, especially it becomes really apparent for us females when we're going through perimenopause and menopause with joint pains and restless legs, you know, your legs jumping off the bed. That's a clear sign of magnesium deficiency. And that plays out in lots of different other functions in our body.
Now, that was just casually dropped into the conversation, but I found it pretty fascinating. So you might be planning your diet very carefully and yet not know really accurately what you're getting out of your veggies. So I wanted to find out why and what's behind it. And for that, I turned to Brian McCarthy. He runs Cork's Rooftop Farm, a farm that he started during the pandemic on the literal rooftops of Cork and that now includes acres just outside the city. He's focused on organic farming and soil regeneration and says we should all be thinking more about the food chain that leads to our plate when examining the nutrient density of food.
The core one that I can see really is that there's the soils that we're growing crops in nowadays simply aren't as healthy as they used to be. So through intensive tillage, intensive chemical application, intensive inorganic fertilizer application, our soils are now degraded. They're not the organic matter contained within our soils is not at the level it once was. And that means that the nutrient needed for plants to grow is not coming naturally, and it's not coming from I suppose how nature evolved to grow plants. And that had a very negative impact on the nutrient density I feel of vegetables across the world. Another factor is we are now importing vegetables from the farthest corners of the planet into Ireland, simply because they're the cheapest option. So, you know, we might have vegetables being transported by container up from Africa, taking weeks to come up and arriving in our shops, and then they're put out on the shelves, and then we're wondering why do they go off in 3 or 4 days? Then you open the packet at home, and the reason is they've been probably harvested 3-4 weeks previously. So there's no way that vegetable has the same nutrient density as something that's been freshly harvested. It just doesn't. So its supply chain is certainly an issue. It's not an issue on all crops, but like certainly on those short shelf life vegetables, it has a massive impact. You know, we import well over 85% of our fresh vegetables into Ireland at the moment, and it's a crazy statistic. And when you think of the temperate climate that we have, we're well capable of supplying the majority, well over the majority of our vegetable needs. Obviously, we won't be able to grow oranges and lemons on scale in Ireland, but that's not where the focus should be. It should be on those sustainable crops. It should be on those things that we can grow in abundance in Ireland. You know, apples is a simple example. It's crazy to think that we can't have a sustainable crop of apples or garlic. Garlic is another one. It's being harvested the last few weeks across Ireland by small producers, yet we import it by the container load from China. You know, it's a massive, it's one of the largest products that is exported out of China. They're the largest producers of garlic in the world. Yet it is one of the easiest crops, well, easy is a strong word, but one of the most sustainable crops to grow in Ireland. You plant it in the autumn, you let it over winter, and in the spring it comes to life, and then you harvest it in the summer. It's an absolutely one of those items that could be sustainably grown in this country, and there's many more examples of that. And by cutting down that supply chain lead time and that huge carbon footprint on the product, you know, as well, you're getting a more sustainable product, you know. So as well as the grower, yeah.
Just when it comes to nutrients, then is how much of it is time, like you're saying, is just that they lose it over time, and how much is when it comes out of the ground, it's just not as.
Yeah, I don't know what the actual percentage figure on it is, but I know that, especially with things like, say, for example, a head lettuce, there's a huge percentage of the nutrient density is lost within 24 hours. You know, so if you think about it, in lots of instances, there's leaves being harvested, they're being washed in 3-4 times, which again is losing nutrient by washing them that many times. Then they're packed into plastic bags, shipped to supermarkets where they might arrive on the shelf day 2 or day 3, and there's no way that they're the same nutritional density as, for example, microgreens, which I sell in my shop, which are harvested in front of the customer, you know. It just doesn't compare. So now, look, and that's the beauty of I guess, you know, shopping at your farmer's market, buying local. The produce, by and large, that you find that's at a farmer's market or it's been grown locally, it's got a way shorter shelf time to travel to get to that to the supermarket. So you're getting more optimal nutrient density when you're buying it. But also there's another factor that's kind of ignored, which is the quality of the seed that's being used often is being controlled now by quite large corporations, or a couple of very, very large multi-billion euro corporations now control the majority of the seed being sold to farmers around the world. Farmers aren't necessarily getting the best quality of the seed. What actually goes back to the people that grow the seed is the best quality of the seed. And often farmers get the lower grade seed to grow their own crops. A big focus is being that we're going to be putting on ourselves in the next 12 months is seed saving and trying to harvest our own seed to have a more sustainable option there. But also it allows us to have more control over the quality of our seed. And that, you know, that genetics plays through all the way to the final product, and the nutrient density of the final product. And you know, it stands to reason. If you have a seed that is small and has no vigor and doesn't have the same genetic vigor as a plant which has grown in your environment and has produced a beautiful crop, then it can't possibly thrive in the same way. And then the food that's grown on it can't possibly have the same nutrient density. These are all factors, but also I think I wouldn't get too hung up on the, say, conventional versus organic versus biodynamic versus anything in terms of nutrient density. I certainly think there's a large focus being put now on the chemicals being sprayed on vegetables, and how that affects their nutrient density. And that, I suppose, that goes back to my first point, which is the effect it has on soil, which will then have an effect on the plant itself and the fruit or the vegetable it bears. So I think really farming practices certainly have an impact. But, you know, just because someone farms organically doesn't necessarily mean that it guarantees that it's going to be more nutrient dense. There could be a conventional farmer who's doing the best by the methods he does it or she does it, and you could have an incredible nutrient density. You know, they could be, you know, so it really isn't a guarantee necessarily, is what I'm saying. There's no measured correlation that just because you grow organically, it means that. It really has, it's a multifactorial thing. But certainly in my opinion, it's a healthier option to not grow with chemicals.
So when people are looking, and, you know, if they might be vegetarian or vegan, they obviously pay an awful lot of attention to what they're getting in their diet. So when they look and they see, right, I need my iron or my calcium or whatever, and get an X amount in a head of broccoli, is that as if that broccoli was farmed right in front of you and this is how much nutrients you're getting, and you actually might be getting a lot less by the time it's reached your plate?
I don't know what the drop off is in it, but, like, I mean, a food scientist would certainly give you better information on that. But certainly from the moment anything is harvested, there's a drop off, there's a tail off on the nutrient density. So it's really trying to get stuff that's harvested fresh and as soon as possible to that harvest day. That's one key aspect. There is a tail off, but there's an interesting fact. Like, even if I take the example of broccoli, we grow microgreens, and we grow broccoli microgreens, and they use just the seed energy to create this sprout. But they have 10 times the density of nutrition in by weight than an actual head of broccoli. So if you're looking for your vitamin E or whatever it is, then that's 10 times more densely concentrated by weight in the microgreen than it would be in the head. So often we found a lot of people turning to that, and because people are buying them then from us cut the harvest or harvested right in front of them, they're getting it at its peak freshness and peak nutritional density. So it's an excellent option. And also the flavor. This is probably coming back to the enjoyment of food. You know, why do we love eating, you know, fresh, beautifully grown produce? It's the flavor and it's the palate and the enjoyment from food. And something that's grown and has high nutrient density and high flavor profile and excellent palate ability, you'll generally find it's got that higher nutrient density as well, because it has been grown in the right ways, you know. And that goes with freshness, you know. And all those things are correlated, and all those things are linked together. And that's, I suppose, that's our brain telling us this is good, you know.
Give me some more of that, please. Finally then, Brian, I mean, is there anything, and particularly you haven't commented as someone new, is there anything that could be done better to our farming system as a general in order to bump up that soil quality, to return it to where it was, and, you know, make sure that we are getting the nutritious food we need close to home?
There's, you know, there's a couple things spring to mind. There's one chap in the US, Dan Kittredge is his name, and he's been working on a device that would allow you to measure nutrient density in your vegetables or your fruit. So you can imagine you come into your supermarket, you get your shopping cart, and this device, you take a picture of it, and it can analyze, however it does it, to the nutrient density of, say, a tomato. How does that feed into this whole story then? People at the moment aren't putting a value on nutrient density. There's no value. So something, there's no really people shop often, especially with fruit and veg, on price. Price is the strongest leading factor there in lots of cases. So if there was a correlation between nutrient density and price, if the farmer gets a better price for something that's more nutrient dense, and if the customer puts more value on nutrient density, then that filters all the way down the line. There's a whole load of things need to happen for that to work. So number one, you need to have a measurement on what is nutrient density for each different fruit or vegetable, which is very complicated. And then you need this tool to be able to measure that. Currently, they're able to do it. They've done it, I think, on one or two fruits or vegetables, but the cost is exorbitant. So you're talking, like, the cost to get it done is in the hundreds of thousands to get one variety or one varietal of fridge. So what I would say is the consumer needs to put more emphasis on nutrient density. If the consumer puts more emphasis on nutrient density, then that will filter back to the farmer, because that's what will be in demand. More nutrient-dense food will be in demand. But the farmer has to be paid for that. There's no, you know, the farmer has to get a fair price for growing something which is, you know, food is medicine. If you're putting high quality nutrient dense food into your body, food is medicine. And if we could get that message into the youth of today, into the people in the primary and the secondary schools, then I think that would be a really, really valuable lesson. And that might filter through then up to the older generations, John.
I suppose I'd always thought about farmers' markets and things like that as a way of supporting local, more than a way of actually eating more healthfully, and that the quicker produce makes its way from farm to fork, the more nutritious your dinners might be. Thanks a million to Brian and Una for chatting this week. I've been Sean Defoe, and this has been Let Me Explain. I'll chat to you next week.